All right, so hey everybody, it's Brian with Harvest Community Church, harvestchurcheugene.com. Thanks for continuing to celebrate Christmas with us. We trust that you had as incredible a Christmas Eve and Christmas Day as is possible under the current circumstances. We're certainly glad that so many of you tuned in on Christmas Eve with us. If you didn't get the chance, you can always go back and participate. All of that is on both our Facebook page and our YouTube channel. So know this, as we end the year, and it's been quite a year, right? We're looking forward in faith to what God's going to do. You know, as Christians, we are never without hope, because our hope is not rooted in this world, and our hope is not rooted in the things that happen or don't happen in this world. And so our hope for 2021 is rooted in the Lord, and it's in Him we're going to find strength. I want to encourage you just to do a couple of things today, and then Pastor Ricky is going to bring a message for us from the Word, and it's actually another Christmas message. So here's what I'd like you to do today. If you haven't had a chance yet, would you please fill out a communication card, a digital communication card? You can find it in the links on YouTube and Facebook, and we would love for you to just not only let us know that you were watching, but also it would be great if we would hear from you, something we can do for you, a question we can answer, maybe we can help you with spiritual growth in some way, maybe there's something in the new year that we can do for you or pray for you about. Just let us know on the digital communication card. If you're new today and you're watching for the very first time, would you let us know that you're watching on the digital communication card? Every time someone new fills out that digital communication card, we give $5 in your name and in the names of each of your family members to Monroe Middle School right here in our neighborhood. They use those funds to help families in crisis through seasons just like this. We would love to give $5 in your name and again in each of your family members' names if you would just let us know those names on your digital communication card. While we're thinking about filling things out, it'd be great if you'd go on Facebook or YouTube again and share this message on social media. Let your friends know that you're watching, that this is your church, that you would love for them to be a part of that. I just have a couple other things I want to make sure I share with you. As we wind the year down, it's so important to know about ways to continue to make a difference. We always talk about loves here at Harvest, right? Specifically, actually, three loves. The importance of loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The importance of loving our neighbor, loving people, loving others, love one another. And the importance of loving the world the way Jesus loves the world. And so we're ending the year with three offerings. There's our annual benevolence offering, where we love on people right here in our neighborhood, right here in our community. We take that up on Christmas Eve, but you can still give to it. That annual benevolence offering will be open for the next few days. And if you want to help in that way, it helps us help people with utility bills, with gas in the tank, with meals, with important things, with the basics. And so if you want to help with that offering, you can do that still. Also, we're continuing to take our international missions offering. We have partners who serve around the world to meet needs and share the hope of Jesus Christ. We would love to support them as we end the year. And then there's the offering for our annual ministry budget. We always challenge us to end that ministry budget year strong. And this year, we've challenged us collectively with a goal of $35,000. That's well beyond our normal monthly budget, but is certainly doable as we end the year strong. And so it's important at this time of year that we set ourselves up for next year so that we can continue to help people love God and love people and love the world the way Jesus loves the world. Also, just wanted to mention one other thing. Pastor Ricky is preaching today and bringing another Christmas message for us in our series, The Simplicity of Christmas. But I will be back next Sunday. In fact, I'm worshiping with you today at home as well. But I will be back next Sunday. And next Sunday, we're going to begin a new series. We're calling that series Stronger. I think it's so important that in this coming year that we think about how to be stronger in our faith, stronger in our lives, stronger in our families. Bottom line, we just want to be stronger in the Lord as we enter 2021. And so I want to help you do that. We will have a new theme verse for 2021 when you show up next Sunday. And we want to talk about that theme verse for the year, and we want to talk about how to be stronger. And so I sure hope you're planning on January 3rd to tune in and be a part of our worship online. We love you. I miss you so much. Know that I'm praying for you. Here's Ricky.
Good morning. I want to welcome each and every one of you to our time of worship today. You know, it's really hard to believe that this is the first Sunday after Christmas 2020, and next Sunday is the first Sunday of 2021. We hope that you had a wonderful Christmas with family and loved ones. We tried hard to make this Christmas season as normal as possible. It was our prayer that the Christmas Eve service was meaningful, worshipful, and inspiring. We trust that the Christmas Eve in a box was helpful as we worship together. And if you were our guest for our Christmas Eve service, we just want to welcome you and trust that you would continue to join us online. And next Sunday, Pastor Brian will be back with us preaching after the first Sunday of the new year. And it is our desire that this coming new year, as we speak of that, to be filled with joy and blessing and encouragement as we seek to worship and serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is still on his throne. This morning, we're going to continue to look at the Christmas story from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 20 through 29 together. The title of the message is A Final Wish Before Death, beginning with verse 22 of Luke chapter 2. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was a righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple court. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to him, what was the custom the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause a falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that would be spoken against. So the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul. Then there was a prophet, Anna, a daughter of Peniel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying day and night. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for this season of year, for this time of year that we celebrate the birth of Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the messages that Pastor Brian has brought about our Savior and Lord, the Messiah, and about Christmas, Lord. And I just thank you today that we can continue to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, as we continue to think about this season, we are so blessed by the perfect gift of your Son, Jesus, as he was given to us for eternal life and for salvation. We thank you today, God, for all you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The one thing I want you to understand about this message is because of this musical declaration, we can discover God's gift of peace and salvation, so valuable that we would not stop sharing the good news with the world. What was your big gift that you wanted to receive for Christmas? That thing that was on the top of your bucket list. I really hope that you got it. The over-the-top expensive item that consumed your thoughts and maybe even your web browser history. You kept looking at it throughout the year and then, this is what I want. Maybe it was that new car commercial you saw about that beautiful white Lexus parked in the driving way with that beautiful red bow on top. Perhaps, ladies, it was a new diamond ring. And for some of you this winter, you may be looking forward to a new vacation, somewhere where it's warm, where the palm trees are blowing and the cool breeze of the day. And perhaps it may be a new home that you were thinking about. But if you had one of these things on your bucket list, then waiting for that big day to arrive was probably excruciatingly painful. This passage that we're going to look at today is probably one of the lesser parts of the Christmas story that most of us are familiar with. It's about a man named Simeon, who the Holy Spirit had told would not die before he would see Jesus, and a woman who fasted and prayed every day in the temple named Anna. God last spoke through the prophet Malachi some 400 years before, but through the Holy Spirit, he had revealed to this man, Simeon, that he was going to see the Messiah in his lifetime, and he was going to hold him in his arms. What if God sent you a text message or an email that said you would see Jesus this Christmas? Would you be like Simeon and view this as one of the best gift that anyone could give you and place Jesus at the top of your bucket list? The following sermon is about that godly man and this widow that went to the temple that were looking for God's promised Messiah, the God of hope, the God of salvation. You see, they were always on the lookout for the Messiah. But for many of us, we get caught up in all the stuff of life that cries out. The urgent cries out and drowns out the call to focus our attention on what really matters the most, the Lord Jesus Christ. The temporal seems to draw far more attention in our lives than the eternal. Living our lives in the unholy presence, all the while forgetting about the holy preparation for eternity. I talked to someone last week who has the same primary care doctor that I have. And he said to this person, the majority of my patients I see on a daily basis are suffering from clinical depression. I ran across this one, this illustration from a doctor as well. He was a medical practitioner, and Dr. Swenson says a steady stream of exhausted and hurting people come into his office every single day. He said that most of them are suffering from an uncontrolled societal epidemic, living without margin. Again, his thesis is overload is a daily disease in our day. Margin is the cure. But if you look at what the Bible says, margin is really not the cure. Margin is simply the byproduct of living in sync with the Savior's schedule according to the Word of God. To have margin is we need to know what the Messiah gives us and how he instructs us to balance labor and rest. Jesus is Messiah. He is a true cure for this disease of overload in our society. It's really interesting what the gospel writer Matthew says about how we can balance that margin of rest and labor. He says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you as well. Matthew 6:33. What things then is he talking about? Well, it's the things that were listed in the verse right above that in verse 31. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, and what you shall wear. Basically, the necessities of life. We seek first God and his kingdom. We're going to look at two people in this passage of Scripture that really live that out, seeking God with all their heart. So I want us to look this morning at the reasons that cause the heart to break out in singing. The reasons that causes the heart to break out in singing. First of all, I want us to think about the promise that is as old as time. It's interesting in these first few verses of the passage we're looking at today, Luke presents Jesus' family as those who were obedient to the Old Testament law of Moses. When it comes to the purification rites of Mary, Joseph and Mary traveled to the temple so that they could present Mary as one who is being personified and one who is being purified, and the presentation and dedication of the Lord Jesus Christ at the temple. According to Leviticus 12, 1 through 8, upon giving birth, a mother was considered ceremonially unclean and must not touch anything sacred or go into the sanctuary. But after 40 days, purification rites were to be done. And what they did was that they took an offering to the temple. And the Bible says that Mary offered not a lamb, but a pair of doves or pigeons, which was an acceptable gift for someone who was very poor or someone who was lower middle class. In accordance with Exodus 13, 2 and 1 Samuel 1 and 2, Mary and Joseph presented and consecrated Jesus, their firstborn, to God in the service of the Lord. We follow that same biblical tradition here at Harvest when we have children's dedication, as parents come and bring their children before the church and dedicate them and say to the church that we want to raise our children to know, to serve, and to love the Lord God with all their heart. There's a growing number of modern-day theologians that suggest that Jesus ushered in a new kingdom and abolished the Old Testament teachings. Later in Luke and other New Testament writings, we learn that Jesus did not come to do away with the law, but he came to obey the law. And in Matthew chapter 5, 17 says he came to fulfill the law, which did not mean that he came to abolish it, but the coming of Jesus was fully obedient in everything that he did to God's perfect law and the prophets. Jesus came, he interpreted the law not just as external, like the Pharisees, but he interpreted the law as internal as well. Jesus went beyond the external legalism to the internal thrust to obey the intended purpose of the law. It's very clear what he said in Matthew chapter 5 on the Sermon on the Mount. He basically showed us what he was talking about when he talked about the internal law and the external law. Look at with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Listen to what it says. You have heard that it was said to people long ago, you shall not commit murder, and anyone who commits murder will be subject to judgment. Now that's the external. But listen to the internal. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Then look at what it says in verse 27. You've heard it said that you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You see, Jesus said there is an external law, but also there is a law as well, and that law of internal. Even though identifying the intent of the law might seem like the formation of a new law, Luke warned the readers and wanted them to know that the teachings of Jesus, the Messiah, did not mean conflict with the law of Moses and the prophets, but he came to show us that he himself could be the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets. The second reason that causes the heart to break out in song is the anticipation of God's promise found in verses 25 and 26 and 36 and 38. You see, the promise of God was declared early on in the Old Testament, in the Garden of Eden, after the sin event of Adam and Eve. In Genesis 3:15, God said this to the devil, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his head. The term he here is a Hebrew word that is masculine, which refers to the Lord Jesus. Theologians call this the proto-evangelium, which means the first mention of the good news of salvation was found shortly after the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden. Then in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, we see the covenant that God made with Abraham. He said that through his line, one would come to bless the people of the earth. You might say, well, what was that one? Well, Paul in Galatians 3:16 tells us who that is. He says, the promise spoken to Abraham and to his seed, and that word seed is singular, Scripture does not say to his seeds, which is plural, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ, the Messiah. Luke portrays Simeon and Anna as those who personified the faithful and the best of expectant Israel, a testimony to the central place the Messiah already occupied in God's redemptive plan. Luke presented both Jewish witnesses as prophet, aged and pious, and they were connected to the temple among those who were waiting for the promise of God's salvation. What is the most impressive about both of these witnesses? That their extraordinary devotion to the living God. Luke tells us that Simeon's only wish in his life before he died was to meet the Messiah. And Anna, in her widowhood, worshipped and fasted and prayed for many years without leaving the temple ever. Because of this story of these two witnesses, one cannot wonder if we as modern-day Christians are as devoted and passionate to meet Jesus as these two were. You see, many people say, well, I've seen the light, but just receiving enough light to see things in a mist? No. Doesn't rightly prepare our hearts to meet Jesus, does it? God's gracious and saving grace of grace by sending His Son to die for our lives. Is Jesus the number one thing on your bucket list this Christmas? Or do we have other competing things that seem to pull our loyalty away from Christ Jesus being number one? I came across this story some years ago. It's by Wilbur Reese in his book called $3 Worth of God, Please. It goes like this. I would like $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but enough to equal a cup of warm water or a snooze in the sunlight. I want ecstasy without transformation. I want the warmth of the womb without the new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I want $3 worth of God, please. That's not what we see in Simeon and Anna, is it? They wanted all that God had to offer. They wanted all that God had promised through the Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon was moved by the Spirit of God to go into the temple courts that day. Simeon lived each day with an eye on the future. Each day he lived in anticipation that perhaps this would be the day that he might see the Messiah. Little did he know that following the leading of the Holy Spirit, he would experience the life-changing promise of God's greatest gift of the Messiah, his only Son. His number one goal in life each day was to look for the Messiah. Which reminds me of a story I heard about a little boy whose parents and he who visited a church one Sunday, and the pastor decided that he was going to call them and thank them for coming to the worship service. And so the pastor called this home, and on the other end he heard this little voice whisper, said, "Hello." And he said, "Well, who is this?" He said, "Johnny." And he said, "Johnny, this is the pastor from the church you visited Sunday. I was just wondering if I could speak to your mom or your dad." And little Johnny says, "No, they can't come to the phone. They're busy." And he said, "Are you sure I can't talk to your mom?" "No, she's busy." "Or your dad?" "No, he's busy. Is there anybody else in the house that I can talk to?" And he said, "Well, there's a policeman." Pastor became a little bit concerned at this point and said, "Well, can the policeman come and talk to me?" He goes, "No, he's busy." And then he said, "Well, are there any other people in the house?" He said, "Yeah, there's a fireman." And he said, "Well, can I speak to the fireman?" He goes, "No, he's busy too." He said, "Surely one of those people can't be that busy that they can't come and talk to me. Why are they so busy?" He said, "They're busy looking for me." Well, Simeon was constantly looking, and there was great honor in that bucket list because Jesus was at the top of his bucket list, meeting the Messiah. When he held Jesus in his arms, one can almost hear the emotion and see the tears rolling down this wrinkled face as he's saying this hymn called the New Domitius, which means now dismiss. What Simeon says, now that I've seen the Lord, God, I'm ready to go. I don't have anything that won't keep me here. You see, sometimes in the Bible we miss the smallest thing. That little word now in verse 29 declares a shift, a new era. Now everything is different. A new chapter in God's book has been written. Salvation has come, and there's no other that can be right with God except through the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 32, we see the shift that Jesus, the Messiah, is the light of revelation to the Gentiles and a glory to the people of Israel. Simeon had devoted his life to the expectation of seeing the Messiah, the salvation. And now the promise the Spirit has given him was fulfilled. And he's saying, God, I'm ready to go. I can depart in peace. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful that you can say, I'm ready to go now that I've seen you and I know you are here. Jesus was enough for Simeon. The Messiah was all he wanted. If Jesus is all you have, is he enough for us to say, he is all I need? The best way to meet Jesus, not just at Christmas, but every day of the year, is to make him the sovereign ruler of one's heart and desire, and the only thing that truly matters on one's bucket list. You see, Simeon had now seen Jesus, and that was enough. You see, it's interesting, isn't it, that it says, as being a Gentile, I cannot help but leap for joy myself, knowing that God revealed the new way for all to be reconciled to him, not just Jew, but Gentile as well. It is a new wave of grace that's come upon all of us, a new covenant that God had made with Abraham. We are all a part of that blessing of God. Salvation can trace its roots to the promise given to Abraham and fulfilled in the Messiah that Simeon held high up in his hands and sang this wonderful song. Then the third reason that causes the heart to break out in song is the eternal blessing along with the piercing reality. It's really interesting what Simeon said to Joseph and Mary about the heartache that Jesus was going to bring and the difficulty he was going to bring, not to those who trusted him, but to those who rejected him. You see, all Mary and Joseph knew about this precious baby that came to them in the most miraculous way was what the angels told them about 9 months earlier. Now this godly saint is holding their newborn up in the air and declaring the joy of salvation in Jesus, but also that there would be both an uplifting and a divisive figure in Israel. That he would be uplifting to those who would believe he is the Messiah, the anointed one, and a division to those who believed that he was a heretic. He warned Mary that her heart would be broken in many ways during her lifetime concerning what others would say about her son, what others would accuse her son of being, and finally what she would witness her son being put to death on a cruel cross for our sins. When accepting and professing salvation in Christ, if he is on one's bucket list, we invite him into our lives, and many times it can cause heartache and cause persecution. It can be cause husbands at odds with their wife. It can become children at odds with their parents. You see, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. I would be naive to think that the Messiah would only bring joy and prosperity to the world when he says, in this world you will have tribulation. But he then said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. You see, it's really interesting, isn't it, folks, that we can create a computer that fits in our pockets and this cell phone thing that we have. but we can't figure out why we're here. Simeon knew why he was still breathing, because God's promised him life until the Messiah appeared. Do we live with the anticipation that this could be the day that the Messiah appears again? Perhaps today? My friends, this is the season for looking, isn't it? This is a season to be looking up and saying, perhaps this is the day that Messiah could come again. I want to leave you with some final thoughts this morning. We need to understand that the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, was spoken of from the beginning of time. He was proclaimed by the prophets of old. His birth was declared by angels. His birth announcement was given to lowly shepherds. He was tracked down by wise men from afar. He was a son given to Mary and Joseph. Yet he was God's only son, given to us as a sacrifice for our sins, that we might be saved. It is my prayer that you will cherish, adore, and bow before the precious gift of God, the Lord Jesus, this Christmas season. Again, the conclusion, this truly is the season to be looking for the Messiah to come again. This truly is the season to be looking for the Messiah to come again. This morning I want to invite each and every one of you to reevaluate where you are. If you have never accepted Christ Jesus as your personal Savior, today would be the day of salvation. Perhaps today you receive the Messiah for the first time and invite Him into your heart. I'm going to pray a prayer this morning. And if you this morning want to invite Jesus Christ, this precious gift of God, the Messiah, into your life today, you can do that by simply invite and say and following me in this prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, God, I just come before you today realizing that I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. I realize for the first time that you sent your only Son to die for me on the cross. Lord, I thank you for your Son Jesus. I thank you for dying for me on the cross. I confess my sin. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I invite you into my heart to be Lord of my life. Take control of my life, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you are sending your Spirit to live and dwell within me. Today I wave the white flag of surrender and I give my life totally and completely to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, the Bible says that you have gone from death to life. You have been renewed and restored. God has come into your life and saved you of your sins. And for those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as like Simeon, if Jesus is not the top of your bucket list, I want to pray a prayer today that He might become the number one priority in your life, at the top of your bucket list, and that you would keep your eyes looking up to the eastern sky and say with Simeon every day, perhaps this is the day that the Messiah comes again. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray, God, that you would just today, through the power of your Holy Spirit, fill each believer today to overflowing. Lord, today may be this the day that we put you at the top of our bucket list, that we make you the number one priority in our lives. Lord, that we seek you and your righteousness and your kingdom, and all these other things will be added unto us. Lord, I just pray that we would keep our eyes on the prize, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. That we keep our eyes looking up and say each day, perhaps this is the day that the Messiah will come again. Lord, we want to serve you. We want to live for you. Help us each day to follow you in complete obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to say this morning, I trust that you have a great holiday season. I pray this will be a wonderful new year. God bless you. We love you. We miss you. We're glad that you're tuning in each and every week. Pray for Pastor Brian as he brings the message next week. God bless you.